All right, let's pray. My Lord and God, thank you so much. Thank you so much. On this Mother's Day, again, we just thank you for moms. And where just the topic of moms comes up and it's difficult, again, Lord, we acknowledge that. And for those who are in pain or, again, where there's a bad relationship, whatever it is, Lord, we pray that that love that only you can give is directed straight into the hearts of moms everywhere. And for those who are moms, again, Lord, we thank you and we pray that they feel cherished and loved mostly by you, because that's where we need it most. But I also pray that those who are around moms, that we learn how to show the appreciation that they really deserve. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, I'm really glad that you're here. Now, briefly, we are running this feed off of two, just because technology is funny, so off of the Story Church page, but then also after Lester Muncy's page, and Lester is one of our student leaders, and so, just so you know. All right, we continue this series that we've been in, and so I'm going to open up with a question, and this question is something for you and me to ask ourselves, and here's the question. Is Christ my life? Is Christ my life? Okay, so if we're talking to somebody and we ask them about their family and they say, my family's my life, we would know what they were talking about, because what they would be saying is, you know, my family means everything to me. Right? They are my drive, they're my passion, my purpose, my direction, my reason for waking up in the morning. So in light of that, again, for you and me to ask ourselves, is Christ my life? Like, is he really my life? Is he these things for me? Is he everything to me? You know, is he my drive, my passion, my purpose? Is he my direction? Is he my reason, you know, for waking up? So as we ask that, in fact, it'd be interesting to ask people that know us. Right? Let's say that you're a believer. If you're not a believer, then I'm glad that you're checking this out. If you're a believer, and those people that are closest to you, and maybe not closest to you, maybe people at work or in school or whatever, you know, how would they respond if you asked them, hey, let me ask you a question. Would you say that Christ is my life? I just think about it, because, and if they're like, what do you mean? Like, when you look at my life, would you say that Christ is my life? Like, he means everything to me. Like, what are the things that you think, if it's not, what do you think it is? And maybe they're like, well, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. But, you know, I mean, I know you love sports, right? Or you love all your kids' stuff that you got, and family, and that's really important. And maybe you like, you know, adventure. Or you like the outdoors, or fishing, or I know you love that stuff, you know. And, you know, is Christ your life? You know, just think about it. And I'll think about it. You know, how would people respond to that? Because if he is your life, then, and if he's my life, then what we've been talking about in this series will ring true. We've been talking about how we are foreigners. You might need to go back if you've not been listening to the series. We're foreigners in this world on our way home, all right? And so what's true in a growing way, because we all fall short, is that we're going to choose God's wisdom more than the world's foolishness. That would be true in a growing way. We'll believe his promises, even if we don't see the results of our faithfulness until he takes us home. We'll learn to say no to the passions of the flesh, and then we'll learn more and more how to live, you know, by the Spirit. So again, just be thinking to yourself, and I'll be doing the same thing, is Christ my life? Before Christ can be our life, there's something that really needs to happen. A number of things, really, but what we're talking about today, let's take a look. Before Christ can be our life, we have to believe that he and his ways are superior to all things. We have to actually believe that. Whereas I know most people would just be like, well, I mean, of course. I mean, like, of course Jesus, just the Lord, is more superior than everything. And of course, his ways are more superior than all other ways. I think we would say that. But if you've listened to enough of my sermons, this is kind of the part where I start to say, like, really though? Like, for you and me, like, is he really, do we really believe that his way is just that much more superior than all other ways? I'll give you an example from marriage. Now, if you're single or a student, you're going to find ways to apply this to your life, all right? And so, you know, having been married, you know, I understand the difficulties of being married, right? I mean, everybody does. Well, my wife doesn't because it's so easy to be married to me. But most people understand the difficulties on Mother's Day. I say that on Mother's Day. The difficulties of being married, right? And so I've had my share of opportunities to talk to people who are struggling in marriage. All right, so when we're having a conversation and we get to the point where I've acknowledged how I fall short, everybody falls short, but we talk about what God has to say about marriage, right? When we get to that spot, we say, you know, the Lord's way, it's really, you know, forgive. Let's talk about forgiveness, right? Let's talk about how we have to give grace for where they fall short because we want that ourselves. Got to put their needs before yours. Men, honor and, I mean, like, honor and love your wives and live with them in an understanding way. This is all scripture stuff, right? I'm not making any of this up. You know, women, respect your husbands. How many do you think respond with, I'm glad you said that. Of course this way is superior. We are all over it. Like, this is what we're going to do. In fact, we don't need to meet with you again. You've just given us what the Bible says. We get it. We understand it. We're good now. How many people do you think really, really jump? Because if we believe that his ways are superior, how many think say that? No, at this point is when the unforgiveness jumps out, the lack of grace, where the blame starts to happen. You know, and when blame happens, it's always a justification for ourself. But that's usually what happens, but yet, both you and I would acknowledge Jesus' ways are better in every way. But we so often, and if that's superior, why do we so often choose different ways? Right? And so, again, if you're single, right? Say you're single, then, you know, so yeah, Jesus, I mean, superior. The ways of the Lord, so far superior, it's amazing. But then someone's single, and it's like, well, the scriptures are clear. You're to be in relationships with those who believe. And then, you know, the whole thing about sex and the marriage bed, it should be left for that. Right. I mean, again, how many people are saying, yeah, Jesus is superior. His way, like, superior times two. You know, like single, right? It's hard. It's difficult. And so we can say, yeah, of course his ways are superior, but there's a lot of struggle and there's a lot of tension with that. Look, let's take a look at some examples, you know, and you just kind of find the one that really jumps out to you because you know, the scriptures are pretty clear on this stuff. And so if his ways are so much more superior, why are we so often choosing other ways? And there's not anybody watching that says, well, I don't. You know. We all do. Again, there's struggle in this. It's not easy, and we know this. So again, if his ways are superior, we have to ask ourselves why. Why do I continue to choose other ways? So last week we talked about a war that's going on inside of us. All right, it's a war between the desires of the flesh, because that's what we're born with. We don't have the spirit. All we have is the desires of the flesh, which are, you know, we desire to call the shots. We want to decide what is right and wrong and how we treat people. That's what we're born with, all right? So there's that, and then there's the spirit. When a person becomes a Christ follower, we are given the spirit that actually overcomes the flesh. So we have the spirit, that's God's spirit put inside of us, and so we are able to walk and overcome the desires of the flesh. Not perfectly, we know that. There's a struggle, but we've been given the Spirit to be able to overcome. But there's that war that's going on, that struggle. And so Paul, a guy named Paul, he wrote to a people in a place called Galatia. So the book is called Galatians. You know, he says it this way, verses 16 and 17. But I say, like, walk by the Spirit. Don't walk by the flesh, right? You will, and if you do this, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. That's that war. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. To keep you from doing the things you want to do, when you're given the Spirit, you desire to follow Him. That's put in there. We desire it, but then that struggle, that tension, that war on the flesh, I mean, that war of the flesh on the Spirit, it tries to keep us from doing what we want to do. Now, again, the Spirit's already won. But we have to learn how to live by the Spirit. As it says, we've got to learn to walk by the Spirit. And again, it's hard. It's extremely difficult because there was a time that all we knew was how to walk by the flesh. That's all we knew. We were imprisoned by it. We didn't even know another way. We were enslaved by it, every single one of us. All right, so it's like here we are. When we look back and we see the desires of the flesh, right? So this is when a person becomes a Christ follower. Looking back, the desires of the flesh, how we once lived, our perspective and what it used to be. And as we talked about last week, that's not us anymore, but that's all we knew. For a lot of us, like, I didn't become a Christ follower until 27. So all I knew up until that point were the desires of the flesh. That's the passions of the flesh. That's all. So that's what was behind me. And so then here I am. And what's in front of me is, having been given the Spirit, it's the desire to follow the Lord by the Spirit. But what's so hard is that we were once enslaved by who we once were. And it's hard to learn to live in who we have become. So again, there's that tension, that struggle. And we all like to cling to old ways. And if we're actually a Christ follower, we don't even like that stuff. Like, we're tempted by it. We in some ways, we kind of, something inside of us wants that. But really, and you know this, if you've become a Christ follower, you could have been struggle, if temptation is a struggle for you, it is for everybody in ways. But whatever you're tempted by, you could be walking along and there it is. Before you had the Spirit, no problem succumbing to that. You were good. But then you become a Christ follower, and then the difficulty happens. It's like, oh, there it is. There's that temptation again. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. And then, we do it again. So we know what it's like, what was before us, and we know what it's like to want to cling to old ways. Every one of us, we can relate to that. So don't feel guilty. Don't feel like you're alone when you have to deal with that, because we all do. But again, remember, we have been given the Spirit. And when given the Spirit, we have been given the way to actually overcome. So Paul, in a different part of Galatians, he gives a warning. And I've always liked, usually I use the ESV, the translation. But when I first started reading the scriptures, I read the NIV. Both reliable. They're both translations from the original texts, right? The early documents, manuscripts, and all that stuff that they have by the thousands and thousands. But I like the way it's worded in the NIV because it really is striking, but it's a warning about clinging to the old ways and following by the ways of the flesh. And so let's take a look. But now that you have come to know God, you've become a Christ follower, or rather, to be known by God. He initiated this process. How can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? Actually, this turned out to be the ESV, I put the wrong one. But what this is saying is like, why do you turn back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? Like, you've been set free from that. Do you really want to be handcuffed by that again? So I remember reading that when I was new as a believer, and I was there, and I'm still there. We're always in that place. But all I had known was what once handcuffed me, all the stuff that I used to do. I had become a Christ follower, never liking to read. I'm learning how to read the scriptures with help from people. And I remember reading Galatians. And I remember reading how Galatians 5 particularly starts talking about freedom. Like, it's for freedom that you've been set free, so don't let yourself be, again, burdened by the yoke of slavery. Don't be enslaved again to what you've been set free. Don't live like you've been, like you're still in prison. So for you, think about that. Think about those areas of your life that grip you. Like, do you really, if you're not a believer, do you really want to just be handcuffed by them your whole life? If you are a Christ follower, do you really want to be enslaved by them, even though you have been set free? Do you want to have the impact of those on your life and on the lives around you, even though you've been set free? And I know that there's those areas where we're vulnerable, where we are weak, those areas where the pull is so strong. It brings shame. It brings guilt. You're not alone in that. We all know what it's like. And so we talk about this next part quite a bit, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But so how do we grow from that? Well, let's take a look. So we have to trust that the way of Jesus is superior. Like, we have to trust it. We have to not just know, I know it's way superior, but we have to trust it. We have to lean on it, right? Regardless of our fleshly desires. And we have to learn to walk by the Spirit a little bit at a time. And that's a mysterious thing. It's intentionally mysterious. It's hard to take hold of. But when we do this a little bit at a time, we grow in it. We begin to understand it. And I've used this example before, but one of the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, and I thought those were cool. And when he's learning to use his webs, he doesn't know how to do it. He's trying to figure it out. And he's just like fly. Like, he just can't figure it out. He doesn't know what to do until he does. Maybe some of you remember this old show called The Greatest American Hero. And I was kind of the same way. It was a funny show. He'd been given a superhero suit, but he lost the instruction manual. That was kind of funny. And so he's out trying to learn how to fly, you know? And so he didn't know how to do it until he knew how to do it. And so it's hard to describe until you start to understand it. And how do we do that? A little bit at a time. We got to lean into it. It's like describing the color orange to somebody that's blind. You got to have to see it. You have to experience it in order for you to be able to get it. And so it's a process. It's a process a little bit at a time. We trust him in this. Okay, your way is superior. I'm going to lean into this. I'm going to seek to be obedient in the way that you have called. And then the more we do that, the more it kind of opens up and the way we understand it. But I want to give you an element of this that I don't think a lot of us know. A lot of us, we try to walk our faith. We feel it doesn't work. And so then we're like, well, I gave it a shot, and I'm bad at it. I failed at it. Or maybe God doesn't really work in my life in the way it apparently works in other people's lives. Let me give you a different aspect of this. Okay, we have to trust, and there's the definition for sanctification. We have to trust the sanctification process without creating our own results in advance. So what do I mean by that? We have to trust, all right? We have to without coming up with our own process in advance. All right, so the way that the Lord works is not the way that we would ever guess. I mean, we can understand in some ways some things, but we could never really grip how he's going to work in our life in something until we actually experience him do it. And then a lot of times, we would never even ask for it in the way that he'll do it. So I want you to think about an area of struggle for you. I bet it didn't take long to come up with one or two, right? And that's true of me. I get it. All right, so I want you to think about, most of us just think, I need to stop this, or I need to start this. And then if I do, the result's going to be, things will be better in ways that I can see. This is how most people go about it. It's almost like we feel like we can earn good stuff happening somehow. And while, yes, if we follow him, I do believe that things will play out better. We'll be more thankful. But if we have going in, if I do this or if I don't do that anymore, then this is what it's going to look like. Then we're going to be disappointed, because what we're thinking about is external things. That's what we're thinking about. And so this is true. We focus on the external, but the Lord focuses on the internal. And this is where we get tripped up. This is where we get tripped up, because we think, in regards to like giving, all right, so if I give, then external, I will see it work out better. I will end up with more. But I've known people that gave, said, all right, I'm going to trust you in this, Lord, and then they had less. So that's so I follow you, Lord, and it gets worse for me. And so that's how people can kind of just be like, but the Lord, he desires to do things internally rather than externally. So again, I want you to think about that struggle, right? So think about that struggle, and maybe nobody knows about it. Maybe you feel guilty about it, and I'll be thinking about a struggle too, but you might feel guilt, you might feel shame, you might feel that constant pull. I want you to think about what it's done to you internally. Think about it. I want you to feel it. Not too much of a stretch for you to feel it. The Lord desires to work internally. What I want you to imagine now, all right, you think about the guilt. Think about the shame. Think about the weight that's on your shoulders in regard to that. Now I want you to imagine being free from it. I want you to imagine being free from the guilt. I want you to imagine, this is that same struggle, free from the shame of it. I want you to imagine being set free. That weight no longer weighs on you. And it's not that it will be perfect. Yeah, there'll still be an element of struggle. There's that war going on. But imagine experiencing that freedom. Imagine that perhaps your circumstance won't change. But imagine what does change is your perspective on it. And then in certain ways, you feel like you've been set free from the hold that it once had on you. Here's what happens. As God works in our heart, and as we recognize over time, like, his way is superior. It's what it's doing in me. It's what it's doing in me and how I now respond to my circumstances. And just, it's beginning to resonate on the inside of me. So before we were a Christ follower, the only thing that could resonate in our deepest part were the passions of the flesh. And again, that's the things that want to pull us from following God. It's where we want to call the shots. It's where we want things our way. We want to believe what we want to believe and believe this is right and this is wrong according to what's best for us. All right, so again, we recognize that there's that tension. We recognize that there is that struggle. But there was a time when that is what resonated with us, because that's all we had, the passions of the flesh. But for the person that becomes a Christ follower and then given the Spirit, we now have something that is at the deepest part of us that's different than the passions of the flesh. We now have the Spirit at the deepest part of us, God's Spirit given to us. And so it begins to resonate at the deepest part of us is no longer the passions of the flesh, but it's of the things of the Lord. The Lord Himself and the desires of the Spirit are the things that begin to resonate with us. They begin to resonate with us at our deepest level, also with our minds and just our hearts and just our perspective. They ring as true. Our spirit in them, it confirms it and it agrees with it in a way we never could have done when we didn't have the Spirit. All we had was the passions of the flesh. So I was reading Hebrews and chapters 1 through 4, and this is where the sermon came from. And I remember as I was reading it, there were things that just resonated with me. Now, it didn't, like, I don't mean it fired me up, and I was like, yeah, but it just resonated with me, and I was thinking to myself, before I became a believer, that never would have resonated with me. And so as I read, you know, I pulled a few of them out. But for those who believe but are also in a growing way, not in a perfect way because none of us will ever be there, but in a growing way, we're walking and we're learning to walk by the Spirit. And things begin to resonate. Now, we could be a believer that's walking by the flesh and in a growing way, even though we have the Spirit, because it can't be removed. Once we're a believer for good. But if we start walking by the flesh, then the things of the Spirit begin to resonate less and less and less. And so as I was reading, there were things that would have been nonsense to me before I became a believer, but then they began to resonate with me. And inside, my inside, the Spirit, it confirmed it. You know, it agreed with it. And so one of them is Hebrews 2:1, chapter 2, verse 1. So therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard in regard to this gospel and what's true, lest we drift away from it. As a believer, that's confirmed deep down in me. Like, and I recognize it. Like, if I start to pay less and less attention to the Lord and the things of the Lord, I'm going to drift away more and more to the passions of the flesh and to who I was. We've got to be careful as we drift away from it. And then before we show the next one, here's the thing I talk about so much. When I became a believer, I didn't have a desire. I heard about you have to build these friendships with people of faith and you chisel away. And I'm like, I had my friends and I thought church people were weird and it was going to be boring and all the other objections, like it's just weird and hokey. I'm not going to do that. And then over time, it resonated in my, like I reluctantly started to move forward with that. And the scriptures are clear. We cannot live as a believer. We can. It's just not effective without those friendships, without those people, not good friends, not people we like a lot that really care about us. We can have those too. That's great. But people that are of the faith, and you chisel away at each other's faith. And the more that I heard about that, the more it was confirmed in my spirit, and I couldn't shake it, so I moved forward with it. And there's a caution in that. When we try to live without it, we think we'll be fine. Look at my life. I'm doing good without that. I hang out with people. Maybe you're part of a church, and you hang out a little bit with those people, and they're friends, and they're cool and all that, and I like them, and I love them, and they're great. But, you know, don't really need more than that. Don't need to be part of a community group. Don't need to invest in those relationships. But if we're seeking to walk by the Spirit, what's going to resonate with is what's true about what God says about it and not what we want about it. And here's and coming up right here is this. And it resonates in the deepest part of me. Exhort, encourage, prompt, urge one another every day as long as it's called today. So from now on, that none of you, look at the consequences if you don't have this, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's a striking verse. This is saying if you don't have those relationships, you are going to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin will lie to you, and you'll believe it, and I'll believe it. And if, for example, you have been saying to yourself over time, I really don't need those, then we're already being deceived, and we don't even know it. And then when marriage trouble hits, or when that temptation hits that we're struggling with, and we try to do it on our own, and we can't do it on our own, it's going to lie to us, and we're going to lie to ourselves. So the more, and we can go on and on. You know, seek first the kingdom of God, and all, and basically, and everything else will work out. Right? These things just resonate with us, and as we grow as a believer. And if you've ever seen someone who at once didn't care about the stuff of the Spirit, but then they do, right? And over time, what we're seeing is that all of a sudden, somebody is having what's deepest in them. It's being, the Spirit is resonating with the things of the Lord. I mean, I've heard people, I've seen people that would listen to the sermons, and then they were like, take it or leave it. But then later on, they listen to me, the same person, and you can only listen to someone for so long. It's not about the speaker. But then all of a sudden, they were gripped, and things were resonating with them. Well, I'm the same speaker, but it's because the Spirit. They're walking by the Spirit. Something is resonating inside of them. And so what I want you to know, and what I want to grow to understand is that this life of freedom, again, there's struggle and there's tension in it, but it's being more and more free. More and more free, where you taste the freedom from fear, the freedom from that temptation, and while we struggle, we are growing more and more free. We know what it means. It resonates with us when we say, I've been set free. I get it now. I want you to know that's available to you. If you're not a believer, it's available when you give your life to the Lord. This is what He has for you. The ability to overcome. For those who believe, it's there for you. What you're struggling with, it could be your marriage. It could be being single. Maybe you feel alone. Student, maybe you feel alone. For me, the things that I struggle with, freedom is there for you. It is for freedom that He set us free. Don't let yourself be enslaved all over again. Do you really want to be enslaved again? No. You and me, we both want to be set free. So in that, I ask you again, and I ask me again, is Christ your life? Is He everything? If you're like me, yes, but you can't say it. I have a hard time saying it with absolute full confidence because I know me and I know where I fail and where I fall short. And so if that's you, you're not alone. One reason why to be part of a church, we can encourage one another in this so we don't fall. We're not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. But because we have that struggle, even though the Spirit's already overcome, we have to learn to walk by the Spirit. I want something to help us because we know where we feel weak and we feel that. And so I want us to be able to walk confidently knowing, all right, I feel weak, but there's an element where that's fine. That's natural. But also a confidence that we can learn to walk by the Spirit. And so this is what we can walk away with. We can say, Lord, sorry. I'm so sorry for where I'm weak. You've given me the Spirit with the ability to overcome. And by not tapping into the Spirit, I so often fail. And I always will. So I'm sorry about that. I am sorry, it grieves me. But thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me and giving me your Spirit. I want you to say, and I want to be able to say, I am free. Say it till you believe it. If you're a believer, I am free. I am free. Read Galatians 5. I am free. I am free. Say it. Let that be what you dwell on rather than whatever it is that enslaves you, whatever enslaves me, dwell on this. I am free, but I know the tension. I know I'm weak, so help me to learn to walk by the Spirit. So why? Because we want to learn to live free. The Scriptures are clear. If you become a Christ follower, you did not do it on your own because you cannot earn it. The Lord has to draw you in. But by the Lord, And by His Spirit, He has empowered us to live free. All right, we're going to pick up there next week. Let's pray. My Lord and my God, thank You so much for sending Your Son to die on the cross for our sin. We don't deserve it. We know all the areas where we're weak. We don't even know all the areas, but we know enough areas where we're weak, where we sin, and where we fail to know that we can't do it on our own. And it's not a matter of being a good, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to get better. I'm going to try harder. And I'm going to have these results that I can see. No, we just need to wipe that off the table because that's not it. That's really every other religion. What is it is I can't do it, Lord, and because I can't do it, I acknowledge my sin, and in acknowledging my sin, I'm thankful that You sent Your Son, God Himself, the Son, comes to, and He came and He paid the penalty for my sin. And then He came back from the dead, and He proved His claims of being God. He proved that He was the one that actually died for sin. And Lord, when we give our trust and our life, we become children of God, we are given the Holy Spirit, and we are empowered to live free. We have been set free. So Lord, I pray for every one of us to learn to walk by the Spirit, to experience more and more of that freedom. And for someone who's never given their life to the Lord, who wants to be set free, I pray they talk to me. Right? I pray that they talk to me. Lord, please, that they would talk to me so we can talk about what it looks like to live in relationship with You and what it looks like to learn step by step how to live free. Thank You so much, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.